Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Momentum Magnet. Today, I'm so excited to have Tara West continuing our summer comeback series. I love Tara's story because it's so diverse. She had a very interesting upbringing in a family that was full of twists and turns. She became a marriage therapist and practiced for years. And since then, she's become a fashion blogger and a stylist in Boston with thousands of followers on social media. So Tara's here today to talk a lot about how we can feel better in our own skin, some of her best tips for dressing well, especially when working from home, and to give us some insights about her comeback story as a child and what she learned as a therapist. So welcome, Tara.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I know. And Tara is even doing us such a favor and calling in from a last minute beach vacation. So it's so nice for all of us working parents to be able to squeeze in time away when we can and still be able to show up for our professional life. So thank you so much for being flexible.
Of course, I'm happy. You know, it's always nice to work from other places to change your environment a little bit. So I'm happy. I'm at the beach and I'm talking to you.
That's a good thing. So we are actually recording this episode on the East Coast, but I think one thing that both Tara and I share is we were originally born on the West Coast, both of us, right? So yes. True California girls, you might look the part a little bit more with the blonde hair, but let's talk a little bit about the comeback. So one of the things that we wanted to do this summer is after all of the challenges that so many of us faced this spring, we wanted to bring some positivity and give people those stories of hope and inspiration. So if they're feeling a little stuck in their life, they know that it doesn't have to be permanent, right? So one of the things that all of my guests have shared in the last couple of episodes is that they had some challenges when they were kids. And in fact, a lot of those challenges have enabled them to feel like they could weather these types of storms, these sort of global pandemics or, you know, economic recessions or homeschooling and working a lot better because they've been used to some uncertainty in their lives. And I know a lot of really well-known writers and inspirational gurus, even Tony Robbins talks about like uncertainty is really the planting ground for innovation and positive change. So can you take us back a little bit to your beginning since you have such an interesting backstory and talk a little bit about growing up in California and how you ended up as a marriage therapist turned stylist?
Yeah. So, well, when you say uncertainty, that was basically my childhood because my mother was an alcoholic and a drug user, and my father was non-existent. So my mother also, I believe, is bipolar, but was never truly diagnosed. And so uncertainty, uncertainty was exactly what I lived through because I literally did not know what I would come home to every day. So, you know, I knew my mother. I think it was probably around, you know, maybe it was I was five. I kind of realized she was an alcoholic because I would watch her pour vodka in her glass and then her whole entire demeanor would change. And then our night could go in any direction. It's a really long story of twists and turns because I was born in California, then we moved to Colorado, but my mother's drinking and drug use got so out of hand that at some point my brothers and I decided that we had to leave because we could not stay there anymore. And we asked my father in California if he would please let us come live with him. And he was really reluctant because he had a new wife and she didn't want three kids there. But we literally couldn't stay with my mother anymore. There was no food, no, it was just a horrible situation. So my father had to let us come live with him because social services at that point was involved. And so when we went to live with my father, my step monster, I call her, she did not want me to be there. So on one day, I was probably only there for about 2 weeks. My father said to me, on the way to school, when you get home tonight, I'm moving you to your grandmother's. And my brothers were able to stay with my father, but I was not. So he drops me off at my grandmother's, but I always tell people it wasn't Beverly Hills. And for those of who know me, like Beverly Hills does suit me very well. And my grandmother was my best friend. So, you know, I really thrived there. She was my best friend. She would take me to fashion shows. And, you know, she was really like my introduction into fashion. She would take me to Saks Fifth Avenue. I mean, even if we didn't buy anything, we were always like in the stores or at fashion shows. I loved it. So then my mother had a situation in Colorado. And so she had to come live with my grandmother and I. And I think at that point I was in the sixth grade. And so imagine middle school.
So just to stop that, I mean, all of these huge life changes, not having food, bouncing around between different homes, having one parent ping you back and forth to the other. I mean, this is happening when you're under 12.
Oh, yes.
And that is unbelievable. Both you and I are mothers. We have children. It's absolutely unfathomable to think that one of our kids would have to endure something that hard. So that's amazing. And I wanted to just pause and say, you know, that's a lot in your formative years. But the interesting thing is, I know that you're about to tell the story, is that just because one of these truly tumultuous situations happens in your life, it doesn't mean a sentence that you have to repeat said behavior. Exactly. And maybe as you talk a little bit about the next phase when mom reenters, maybe you can help the audience who maybe struggle with this at home understand how you were able to realize that this didn't have to be your identity.
Right. Well, I have to tell you that that took a long time to make it not my identity, because my mother, she's my mother. She put a lot on me as being the daughter. So it was not so much my brothers, but it was my responsibility and it was my fault that all of this was happening. So she would send me to therapy because she would say, if you get fixed, then things will get better. So she put a heavy load on me, along with the fact that I was dealing with all of these other elements in life. And so I will get to the point of where I realized that it's not me, but when you're living with this and people are putting so much on you and wanting to get rid of you, you don't have a lot of self-worth.
No.
Because nobody's saying to you, you matter so much that I'm gonna like take care of you. But my grandmother, she did. Her and I have like an incredible bond always. So in that regard, that was like a really great place for me to be. But then my mother had to come live with us, and that became a disaster because she would like fill the alcohol bottles with water, and she would be drunk on the night, like every night. And then she met a man. After three dates, they decided to get married. And so she went and lived with him. And my grandmother was like, you have to go live with them because I'm too old. I cannot take care of you anymore. And she was old. It was too much. It wasn't her responsibility. So I went to live with them, and that was at the point I was starting high school, and that was a disaster because not that everything else was.
Yeah, everything else was fine, but that was the disaster. Okay, I'm curious. Tell me more. How did that become the rock bottom?
Yeah, well, you know, when dysfunction marries dysfunction, there's a lot of dysfunction. So it was, you know,
I think what you said there is really beautiful, because it's when someone is living in that pain identity and coping with addiction, they're not going to be able to call in anybody else showing up as their best self. So it's not surprising at all that your mother would marry another, using your words, maybe train wreck.
Yes.
And together it would be double trouble.
Double trouble. So, and I want to also say that, you know, my mother was a trust fund child. So there was a lot of money to some degree. But after the incident that happened in Colorado that made her move to my grandmother and I, she lost almost everything that she had ever inherited. So now she's now living with, you know, my, I think that's like my third stepfather. And he, so he, if it wasn't her beating him up, he was beating her up. She was drunk. He was using, it was chaos. And I'm trying to go to school, high school, and not do anything that they're doing because I'm totally afraid of drugs and all of these things because I see it every single day. But not to say that I, you know, I was a high school kid. I did want to like hang out with my boyfriend or go with my friends. And so one night I came home my junior year and, you know, or the next morning I came home and I did lie about where I had spent the night because I wasn't supposed to sleep at the party, but I did with my friends, whatever. It's nothing so dramatic.
Nothing that I didn't do.
But I wasn't supposed to do anything wrong because you see in this dysfunction, right. I have to be the functional person. So I came home and I was treated incredibly unfairly and I was beaten up. And that's when I decided, I said to myself, Tara, you have two choices in life right now. You either stay here and you fail miserably in life, or you find a way out and you make something of yourself. And I was a junior in high school and I made that decision and I left.
And that is so beautiful and so brave. And it, that idea, and I talk about this a lot in my own comeback story that is nowhere as near a movie as yours. There's a moment in a lot of people's lives where maybe the call to know more is way stronger than what next. And it's once you get to that moment of, I will not tolerate this life or this situation for a second longer, it really opens the door for you to start visualizing what it is you can tolerate in the future. And I think that that's the pivotal moment I have heard from everybody that we've had this conversation with and every influencer that has had a very challenging childhood. I know Tony Robbins has almost a very identical story as yours that he tells all the time. And he said, if my mother wasn't the woman that she was, I wouldn't be the man I am because I have to thank her for creating someone as resilient and strong-willed as me. Because if she was the loving human that I desired, I wouldn't have been so scrappy and so determined for more.
Well, I totally agree with that. I mean, I couldn't be a stronger person. And I always, it's not a surprise that I have built something out of my own and not have worked for, I mean, I've worked for other people, but it's not a surprise that I am where I am because of what I've been through.
Totally.
And I think that I always knew that I was going to share my story and that because I always say, when you've gone through what I've gone through, you cannot not tell your story because it is impactful. And I made it to the other side and, you know, you have to inspire other people because people go through all different kinds of things. And some people, like you said, have similar stories.
Yeah. And I think when you're in those dark moments, it's hearing the stories of light that usually are the most motivating ways to move forward. So, I mean, if you're, and I do marketing, so I think of this a lot of times from a purely advertising standpoint. I mean, if you're in the business of selling a diet plan, if you're not showing a transformation story, you're not selling your product, right? That's why Weight Watchers always picks like the celebrity client to like talk about their offering because that's what people want to see. It's the same with personal change and personal development. If you're having a marriage problem, you want to hear about the couple that made it. If you're having a problem with your kid, you want to hear about how the child overcome the learning disabilities or, you know, got more emotionally healthy. I mean, I think it's the same when people have had an amazing comeback or are dealing with alcoholism in their family or drug addiction or abandonment. It is so beautiful to hear people who said, yeah, I live that too. Mine might even be more extreme and I'm still good.
Right. I totally agree.
Because you get in the victim mindset sometimes and you start to believe that this only happens to me. This isn't fair. And it's stories like yours that help people flip that understanding. So as you stood there as a 17-year-old, which I cannot even imagine, and said, okay, now I'm fully responsible for myself, what the heck did you do next?
So I did reach out to my father, who declined me and said no, because he had now had a family with my stepmonster. But my uncle, who actually had always been someone in our lives, he's the most amazing person. He would take like 15 of us on trips to wherever. And so I reached out to him. He actually, the one trip before that, he had said to me, nobody knew what I was going through, but I had told a little bit about the living situation. And he told me that if I ever needed a place to stay, that I could come there. And I was always like, I would never reach out. But at that moment, I reached out to him and I had told him what had happened. And he said, you come live with me. And so he said, Tara, what is it that you want? And I said, I want to go to college because I know that that's my ticket out of here and a ticket to my future. And so from then on, I just worked so, so hard. I got into college and then I decided to go to graduate school at USC for marriage and family therapy. And when people say, well, why did you be a therapist? I said, well, I had been in therapy since I was 2. So I definitely knew what a therapist, the name of the game. I mean, I knew the profession. And I always wanted to be a stylist, but it wasn't really something I could go to school for because, you know, you get told, it's like being an actor, everybody's doing it, it's so hard. So I was a marriage and family therapist for a long time. And it made a lot of sense because of what I've been through. I was a young therapist. So I actually saw a lot of kids who are suicidal, but I would work with the families and I also did marital counseling. So
let's talk a little bit about that because that is such an interesting story. So when you, you know, enter grad school and you're pursuing this degree as a therapist, did you find that you brought a unique edge to the conversations or the discussions in school because you had like lived some of the worst case scenarios that are in the books?
Yes, but you have, but there was also a little bit of me that was, I think when you are a survivor, you are in survivor mode. So you don't necessarily look at yourself as like, that's what I've gone through until you're able to look at yourself and say, that's what I've gone through, if that makes sense. So
yeah, it takes a while to get to the vantage point where you can give any active history or retelling of what you learned from an experience. You were still too close, right? It was still,
I think I was too close. I was still at an age where maybe I didn't know myself. Like, you know, you're in your 20s. So, but I did know inside, I did know. And so maybe I didn't give perspective to, I mean, my close friends knew, but I think that being a therapist, I was so good at it because I did know, like, even if I didn't express it, like I've lived that life, you know? So I think that it made me a really good therapist. I you know, and I was very compassionate. And also it made me really mad at parents because a lot of them were so in denial or so self-centered, or it's a very scary when you have a kid who wants to take their life. It's very scary and it's easy to blame. And then what I was really good at was saying, listen, there's nobody to blame here, but people have to step up and lean in and take care of the problem and look at yourself, because this is happening from not, you know, the child's not acting this way because the child's just acting this way. There's issues. And so I think I was really good about getting those issues out and having the family help themselves to help the child.
That's really interesting. And I know we're going to switch gears right now and talk about where you are in your business now and make this a little bit of a light and comeback story to fashion and fun, which Lord, I think we all need. But when we are summing up kind of your years in therapy, were there any, I don't know, little bits of wisdom or knowledge around marriage fitness or tips that you learned and feel like you could sort of leave the audience with?
Sure. Well, you know, I think always in any relationship, communication is key. It's so important to communicate. We cannot read each other's minds. You know, this is, I mean, that's why I always say text and email. It's just pick up the phone. Let's have a conversation. But, you know, marriage is also, it's about two people who need to also be themselves. So when you're in a marriage, you cannot expect to just be one unit. Sure, you come together to make decisions, but you need to also be yourself. So, you know, I am a stylist. My husband is in technology. Those are very different things. Although we sometimes don't go to stuff together because it just doesn't make sense, but we let each other live our lives and then we come together. And I think that that's really important. And also, you know, we don't want to change somebody else. And that, and I'll talk about that too with fashion is, you know, when I approach a client with fashion, I don't think, oh my gosh, how am I going to change this person's complete style? No, I just want to enhance them or elevate their style. I don't want to change their personality. I think that goes along with marriage. I want to be with you. I want you to be the best that you can be. I'm not here to want you to change or be somebody different. And so I think that that's really important to remember. But also with friendships, I mean, we are, you know, our friends come and go, or but and they go through different life phases. So be supportive, because we're not always all in the same place, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That completely makes sense. So you had this great career that you were very good at. You were being a therapist, probably the best dressed therapist that any of your clients had ever seen.
It's funny you say that, because people would be like, what? Like, you're so dressed up. And I just didn't know how not to be.
You're like, this is just me. This is more my core skill. So as you, was it a side hustle for you at first, or like a side passion project where you were embracing fashion? Or talk to me how those two worlds kind of intersected and then diverged, and you went in fashion as your career direction.
So I met my husband visiting Boston, because I was in graduate school in LA and all my friends lived in Boston from college. So I ended up moving here, or in Boston, and people, you know, were always like, oh my God, I love what you're wearing. And they saw me pregnant and not pregnant. And I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to start a business. So I had stopped my therapy when I was pregnant with my first child, because I was very sick. And it's not great when you're working with your therapist and she's like, excuse me, I have to go throw up. It just doesn't work.
Nope.
So I was like, you know, I'm going to take a break from that. And I honestly, I felt fulfilled. I feel like I did my therapy work, and I almost like didn't have it in me anymore for that. And that's okay. It's good to know that, to step away. So after I had my son, my third child, I was like, you know what, I'm going to start a business. So I launched two parties. I invited literally everybody I ever met in Boston. I didn't know if anybody was going to come. They were at stores. And then it was a word of mouth business. People just started asking me to come into their closet and shop for them. And then about 5 years ago, I have a mentor, and she was like, Tara, you have to start doing social media. I said, you're absolutely crazy. I'm not putting myself on Instagram. It's crazy. But thank God I did, because as you know, social media is everything right now. So I really, now this is the part where I really had to work on myself. This, I've been in a lot of therapy, but I got to tell you, putting yourself out there, social media wise, made me really have to work through my stuff, because I realized I have to value myself more and appreciate what I can bring to the table. Because I would take a picture for Instagram and I would rip it apart and be like, and then I said to myself, why do you keep doing this to yourself? This isn't fulfilling. This isn't fun. Like, you're critiquing yourself so much. And in that, it made me really start to change my mindset about who I am and how I feel about myself.
That's beautiful. And how did you, it's easy to recognize a negative pattern. And I think a lot of us, and especially women, speak to ourselves in ways that we wouldn't speak to our best friend, right? We use words and we're so harsh. We're such a critic. And it really is challenging. But sometimes, you know, we know that that voice exists, but how do you break it? How do you break that pattern?
You know, I was tired. I was tired of doing that to myself. And I also
hit the wall of no more.
I did. And I was like, you know, I'm exhausting myself. And I also, I used to have like a lot of anxiety and stuff like that. And I said to myself, I'm done. I'm like so done feeling like this. I'm not doing this to myself anymore. I also have two girls and a boy, but you know, especially for the girls, like I don't want them to carry what I carry negative about myself. And even though I know it's a lot of image what I'm doing, but really it's about how you feel about yourself. So when, you know, I dress a client and they feel amazing, or I get a text that's like, oh my gosh, you don't even know how amazing I feel, because it does make a difference when you leave the house and you feel good in your clothes psychologically, like you're going to have a great day because you feel so good. And so I, you know, it was really important for me also because of my children, is that I didn't want them to see me doing this to myself. Cause even though we think they might not, they definitely do see it. So I don't know. I made myself change. I just had to do it.
I love that. I love that. So you now work, talk to me how you work as a stylist. So you work with clients who want you to go personal shop for them, or you go in and you check their closets and you revamp them to be cooler. Like, talk about, maybe without any identifying information, of types of people that you work with and what you do for them. Maybe using someone as an example.
Yes. So, well, the typical client will call me and say, can you come through my closet? I can't, you know, going through a closet, it's tedious. It's better to do with somebody. They want to make sure what they should keep, what they should get rid of. And that, so we do that. And then I kind of make a list of like what I think that they should get, whether it's staples that they could just add to their wardrobe. And either I go shopping with them for them, or they just go by themselves. And then, you know, typically I'll come back and we'll make a lookbook. So we make like maybe 15 outfits, at pictures that, you know, if they have a meeting the next day, they just open the book and they can see the outfit. So that's like a typical client. A lot of the people that I work for are working women and men who don't want to go shopping. And when they're on their weekends, they want to spend it with their family. Mm-hmm. And so once I really get to know a client, I'll just drop stuff off seasonally. And then, you know, they'll pick what they want and whatever they don't want, I take back. But I also do events. And, you know, some people call me for maybe one event, or some people hire me for their college students to get their first interview suit. And
My mouth was dropping open. I said, I cannot imagine if I had access to that as a college student. Wow.
I remember going for my first interview. I had to go to Banana Republic. I had no idea what I was doing. No idea. So when people give that as a gift, I said, that's the best gift. Your child is going to remember this forever.
Yeah, a killer power suit. I had an Ann Taylor black suit that I got for my interviewing that I believe was a college present for my, like, graduation present from my parents. You know, pretty, I actually think I still have that blazer.
I bet you do, because most people's closets I go into, they still have it. I'm like, I love that. So
probably doesn't fit. Let's be clear. Well, I'm pretty sure that's pretty tiny, but that's okay.
Yeah. So it really runs, but really it's the working, you know, people who are full time and just want to have time with their families. But since COVID, you know, it's been a little different because there haven't really been events. And so the whole event spring season was non-existent pretty much. So now it's a little, we do some virtual shopping, and a lot of times I have clients, because I do work in New York and LA, I have a couple clients in Connecticut where, you know, I send them what I think that they should buy, they order it, and then that's how we do that. So
that is fun. That is really fun. So, okay. I love giving some people some actionable tips from all of these episodes, and you've definitely helped people reframe if they've had a challenging backstory, but I think it's really good to help us understand, as a lot of us work from home consistently, how do you suggest approaching fashion? Because I know I haven't been in an office since March, and I feel like the quality of my clothes and how I'm showing up each day is getting remarkably more casual as COVID continues.
Yeah.
I mean, I had straight gym clothes on to record this episode, and I'm like, you know what? She's a fashion blogger. I should probably put on some lipstick and throw on a different shirt and some earrings just so I feel a little more elevated.
Right. Well, you look great. So, you know, first of all, since we're all doing Zooms, a good top is always a good idea. So if you don't want to buy a lot right now, just get some cute tops because people aren't actually really seeing what you're wearing on the bottom. So that is a good idea. You know, I think from now on, things are going to be more casual in general. I don't think people are going to be as showy and like all dressed to the nines so much. So, you know, I think keeping like a really good, you could wear a cute t-shirt with like a blazer. You don't have to put the blazer on. You can kind of just drape it over. That's very chic. And you can wear whatever you want on the bottom. You know, there are like the athleisure sets are very big right now because everybody's home. And those are super cute. Some of them, are, you know, you could definitely wear for a Zoom call. It's not so much like you're in your workout clothes. It's like a little bit elevated.
Does a fashion blogger actually wear athleisure wear?
Yes.
You do. See, people, all even the fashion forward put on the comfortable clothes sometimes. That's good
stuff. You know, there's really cute sets right now. So people are really into the sets. And I think that's so cute. And you can, you know, wear them out and day to night if you wanted to. I mean, anything goes right now, I feel like.
What are two or three absolute essentials that every modern woman, let's do it first for the women and then we can do it for the males, has to have in their closet?
Well, like I said, you have to have a blazer because a blazer will take you everywhere you can wear it. Now, it's so cool to wear like a printed t-shirt under a blazer with jeans. Definitely, I would say a good wide leg pant. I know some people are afraid to wear a wide leg pant because I'm actually very short, but like I just wear a chunky heel. But it's a very nice look when you have a long wide leg pant with like a tucked in blouse. It just looks very elegant.
Any body types that cannot pull off a wide leg pant? Because I've heard that from some people thinking that if they feel like they have wider hips or, you know, they carry their weight more like pear shape, that maybe a wide leg pant won't work. Do you find that that's like a ubiquitous anybody?
No, I think then you could do like a leaner leg, but maybe like a wider bottom, not bell bottom, but just like you can make it more structured at the top and like a boot cut. So yes, I agree. I think that, you know, it doesn't look good on everybody, but I think that a boot cut would definitely offset that. I also think that it's always good to have, you know, I don't know. I love dresses because I feel like it's just easy dressing. And so, you know, being from California, I like a one and done type of thing. It's very easy. Just get a cute dress and throw it on and you can wear it with boots or, you know, heels or sandals. When I shop for my clients, I want to make sure that everything I buy them, they could wear like three or four different ways. Obviously, if it's an event dress, that's not going to happen. But if I'm investing in like a blazer or, you know, a nice top or a dress, I want to make sure that they can wear that several different ways since they're putting their money into it, because it's not about how much you have in your closet. It's about the quality of it.
What are, if somebody really wants to feel on trend, maybe they are feeling a little bit not so fabulous after the last period. What are some of the trends that you're seeing that are going to come out, you know, with Fashion Week in the fall? Or what are the hot things we should be thinking about adding as seasonal pieces to our wardrobes?
Well, I think that it's going to be interesting. Well, a lot of sustainable clothing is very on trend right now. And for sustainable clothing, that runs the gamut. Like all the things I was just saying, you can get sustainable. I think, you know, it's definitely going to be a little bit more of a, like I said, a laid back look than ever before. Probably like shirt dresses. Those are really comfortable. You could add a belt. So cute. Make it a little more chic. I think that there's a lot of people are going to use secondhand stores more. Like thrift shopping is very cool. You can find some great stuff there. I think that in that regard, you could find like a really cool blazer, you know, you could find great jeans and tops. So I think that it's going to be more casual. And again, I think that there's going to be a lot of sets, comfortable athleisure sets. You know, you can
matchy, matchy is like coordinated pants and top of the same fabric. Is that hard for people to wear, or does that sort of continuation of color work for different body types?
So you know, the whole pajama, the pajama look where it was like the long. So I think that's a tough look. Like that pajama is tough because I like, for me, I really look like I'm wearing pajamas, even if it's not, it just doesn't look good. But I think when you wear sets, it's good. You just need to make sure that maybe you need a little more of a cropped shirt, not saying crop top, but maybe just needs to like hit at the waist, or maybe you need to tuck it in. You need to have, or maybe add a belt. Sometimes you need to break up the patterns, but I think that it's not for everybody, but I think that if you find the right proportions, it can look really great.
And maybe they're coordinating pieces where they have the kind of same color family, but maybe they're not exactly all beige. Something like
that. Okay. You know, I think too, it's like, it's always fun to like break something up with a belt. So I was never a belt person. Now I wear belts with everything. I think a belt just elevates a style. So let's just say you had like a printed top and a printed bottom that were a set. You could just add the belt in between and it breaks it up a little bit. So it's not so much of like a continuous pattern.
Perfect. So if you're a male listening and we do the same little exercise on what are the absolute necessities that every well-dressed man needs to have in his closet.
Right. So obviously a good button down, and I don't, you know, a lot of people tend to just go with the blues and that, but you know, try a purple or try a pink. I mean, real men wear pink. I love a man in a pink shirt. I'm not saying fluorescent, but like a pale pink. Not obviously you need to check your coloring, but I really think that that's a nice look. I think it's good to have like a really nice pair of shorts, because you know, even if you like right now we're in summer time and in the fall, it's nice to have a nice short that you could wear with a nice shirt out. It doesn't always
have shorts. Yes or no?
What'd you say?
Cargo shorts. Yes or no?
I like cargo shorts. I mean, I think they're kind of cool, but that could be too casual for some people.
Okay.
You know, but I think a cargo short's very cool. I think you always just have to make sure what the fit looks like. You know, some people like a really tight fit. Some people like loose. And always, always, always a good pair of jeans. Because, you know, growing up in California, like literally you could wear jeans anywhere. And now I feel like this is just how it's going to be. Like you could wear jeans anywhere right now and just put a nice shirt on and you're good. So
if someone has a college child or somebody is a millennial, like an early millennial looking to enter the job pool, what is the right outfit for the young? So I'm thinking like under 25 when they're out and interviewing, do they really wear a classic matching suit like we did maybe when we graduated college? Or what's kind of the go-to outfit for that age range now if they're trying to enter the workforce?
So I love that question. And I think it definitely depends on what job you're going for, because if you were going for a fashion job, wearing a matching suit with like a cool print is cool. But if you're not, I would say, you know, keep it simple. Like, no, you probably aren't going to wear a full suit. You would probably, for a man, you're going to wear a nice shirt tucked in, belt, nice shoes. You probably wouldn't wear the blazer, right? And for a woman, a skirt or a nice pair of pants and a top or a really nice dress, but to really keep the pattern pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I was always told you don't want to take away from you because of what you're wearing. So you don't want to wear something that's so loud or don't wear something so interesting because you're interesting. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Don't have them distracted by your beautiful outfit.
Right.
That's awesome.
Or your crazy outfit. Let's keep it real. Like, you know, keep it clean.
One more challenge that a lot of us struggle with, I think, especially after the last couple of months, is let's say you're heading out to the beach soon and you realize that maybe your bathing suits aren't suiting you as they used to. Do you have any go-to tips for making people feel great in a bathing suit or brands that you love?
Yes. Well, bathing suits are the worst. Okay. So, well, the good thing is you're not trying it on in the store because the lighting at the stores are terrible, right? But you know, I just posted on my Instagram yesterday, Target has had really good bathing suits right now. I was wearing a high-waisted bathing suit bottom,
and I'm adorable.
Like, I didn't, thank you. But I was, my husband was like, what are you wearing? But I never thought that I would wear that. They're actually really comfortable. They kind of suck you in a little bit. And so it's good. So I think that ruching in a bathing suit is always a good idea. Especially if we feel like, you know, we're a little heavier or a little bloated, because it really makes you feel like sucked in, and it's proportionally a beautiful thing in a bathing suit. But I think that bathing suits are always tricky. So I would just try different styles. Like, don't be afraid to try the high-waisted, because it could really be flattering on you.
That's probably, I'm a fan of the high waist bathing suit. I do agree with that for sure.
And I have to say, one pieces are all the rage. So, you know, get some one pieces, because people really, I mean, they're on trend right now.
There. Everybody just has permission to go buy a one piece and not feel like they need to have a bikini this summer, says Tara West.
I know.
Most popular Boston fashion blogger. So she said it has to be true.
Well, you know, the thing is I can't wear one pieces really, because I'm short. So it doesn't really look that good on me. So, you know, there some trends you just can't pull off. This is right. Another thing to remember. Some things you just should not wear, even if it's popular.
I get that. I really do understand that. So leaving people with a tip or a piece of insight on feeling good in their own skin and why that matters. I mean, I think everything you've said will resonate with most people. And I think that's why for a lot of women, the 40s become such an amazing decade. It's when a lot of, I think, these unwritten roles and beliefs that we've carried on for so long start to get pushed around a little bit, and we start to feel better in our own skin even as we age. I know that's the case for me, and I've heard a lot of my friends say the same thing. So can you help give people a little bit of inspiration on finding that self-love if they feel like they've been struggling forever or recently?
I think that, you know, it's really important to love yourself, and it's a very hard thing to do, especially if you've come from trauma or any kind of abuse or anything. And just in general, it's hard for us to love ourselves. We have very high expectations of ourselves. And I think that we have to remember that all of us are so important. And what makes me really think about it is also my kids. It's, what do I want them to feel like? I don't want them to feel like how I felt. And no. So that made me really want to work on myself. So I think that if that's how you're feeling, think about how you don't want them to emulate that, because you don't want them to carry what you're carrying. And also, you know, we're all going to get through this. And like you said at the very beginning, is it hard for me to go through this COVID pandemic? Yes. At the same time, as I have been through a lot. And so I know that it's all going to be okay eventually, but how am I going to be okay? My first question when all this happened is like, Tara, how are you going to take care of yourself? Because taking care of myself means I'm going to be okay for my family and for the people around me. And for me, it was, I have to work to save my business, because I was worried like what was going to happen to my business. So I threw myself into the next thing that I could do for work. So I think you need to ask yourself, what is going to make me feel good at this moment? Like, how can I help myself? So that you helping yourself is okay. First of all, you have to give yourself permission for that, because a lot of people, I think, don't do that. So give yourself permission to take care of you. And then whatever that is, like if you have given up your exercise, go exercise again. There's so many ways to exercise in your home. You're laughing at me.
I'm laughing because I have been terrible this week. And that's something that I've had. That's like a sign. That's a divine sign thing. Like, go get on your Peloton after this ends. I will. I will text you.
How good do you feel after you work out?
Oh, good. So good. I don't know what happened this week. I've been very regimented over quarantine, and somehow the wheels came off the bus this week. I don't know.
But that's okay. But this is what I'm saying is like, you probably said to yourself, you spoke to yourself, but you know that if you work out, you feel good, right? You know that about yourself. So that's what I'm saying. When you say, how can I help myself in this situation? Because that's what I've always said to myself through everything. I'm like, okay, you are the only person that can take care of you. Mm-hmm. I've learned nobody, I mean, unfortunately, not a lot of people were able to wanted to take care of me, but I always could take care of myself. So how can you take care of yourself in this situation? And then when you do that, you'll find that everything else is a little bit easier. I'm not saying it's ideal situation we're in, but it makes it a little bit better if you're in a better place.
That's the perfect ending. Tara West has taught us how to find self-love during chaos. And I think all of us are looking for a little more of that, no matter how, you know, flat or wavy the situation is. So when someone has listened to this and is like, I want Tara in my closet and shopping for me, which is what I'm thinking for the last 15 to 20 minutes. I'm like, she needs to dismantle my current closet and give me a new one. How does somebody reach out and work with you? And what does that look like?
All right. So they can send me an email at Tara. What's my email? Tara at TaraWestFashion.com. You can go to my website, TaraWestFashion.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Tara West Fashion. And, you know, what we'll do is we'll kind of just discuss what it is that you want to approach. Like you said, do you want me to just come into your closet? We could start there or whatever it may be. So it's pretty simple. And then we'll just talk about how long. I'm pretty good about how long I think it will take based on your closet size. So that's how.
Perfect. So reach out to Tara and think about maybe leaving this call and showing up as a really loving yourself version on your next Zoom with pretty earrings and a cute top, and just see what that does to perk your mood. Because all of us need sometimes a reminder that life still goes on and there is a universe outside of our homes and we can feel good in our own skin. So I'm glad you challenged me by showing up to wear earrings today and put on lipstick.
I like your ears.
I will continue that for the rest of the day and the rest of my calls. And then I will take a Peloton.
And then you go on your Peloton.
And you're going to go on my Peloton before I eat dinner. I will do that for sure. All right. Thank you, everyone. Tara, you were a pleasure. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your beach trip. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.